saving money on your interior stains and finishes now at Menards. Provide exceptional color to your staining project with Minwax Color Series. It applies evenly and dries fast with just one coat. Get a quart of Minwax Color Series wood stain in over 240 colors. On sale now through April 12th. Visit our paint desk and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your stain project today.
Save big money at the
Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the looting Luke Cutforth.
I'm gonna steal your stuff.
This week we're talking about primate parents and monkey business, but first, Luke, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Would you steal a baby? And if so, why?
I don't remember that bit in the piracy advert.
You wouldn't download a baby.
Would I steal a baby and why?
If so, why? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I might steal a baby if I saw a baby like being abused by somebody. I might steal the baby from that person.
Saving a baby.
But I'm stealing it from the person. Like if it's like their mum, then I'm still stealing it from them. I'm not saying that kids are property. I'm just saying that like, you know, in the world where stealing a baby is a reasonable description for something, then yeah, I'd steal the baby in that situation. If I'm saving the baby, I'd steal the baby to save the baby.
Right. So you'd save a baby regardless of the consequence.
Exactly.
Even if
I get done for theft of baby, I would still save the baby.
Kidnapping is the...
Kidnapping from the meanie person, though, yeah.
Okay,
that's
sure.
How I describe abusive parents.
When the state does it, okay, that's called saving a child.
Yeah.
When I take a child from a low-income neighborhood and bring them to my house, that's called abduction. It's double standards, man, honestly.
Not what I said, but yeah, fine.
That's what I said. Okay. Those are my words.
Okay.
I take it you have no idea what we're talking about today.
Thieving of babies? Adoption?
Just say the thing that I've said. Like,
the thing you said is probably what we're talking about.
It's related to what we're talking about, but it's... Okay, I'll instead of quibbling over how you've decided to answer the question,
mm-hmm.
maybe I'll just answer the question.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about today are capuchin monkeys that have been stealing the babies of another monkey species, of howler monkeys.
To save them?
No, Luke, no.
They're like, these other monkeys, they're bad mothers. We'll look after them.
We'll get into why they're doing it, I suppose, later. We'll see if maybe you can figure it out. Or if it's earlier in my notes, then we'll see that it's earlier in my notes and I'll just say it because I don't remember what I've written.
Good work.
Hey, look, I'm researching loads of episodes, Luke, and I can't remember a single one of them.
It's going to be just the next line. Just give the whole thing away.
Basically, yeah. The rise and spread of a social tradition of interspecies abduction is the title of this paper. The authors, Zoe Goldsborough, and a bunch of other people. Et al. That's what scientists say when they don't want to list everyone off, and that's what I'm going to say as well.
I love the idea that that's Latin for a bunch of other people. It is.
And the rest.
Et al. It's a lot more pretty Latin than English, isn't it?
You can get away with saying a lot of like dumb stuff so long as it's in Latin.
You type into Google Translate and all these other losers and it's like et al.
Yeah. Who does Sci Guys? Corey.
Et al. Screw you.
Who's Al? No, but
The French are like, there must be a guy called Al coming up at some point.
That's when Sci Guys ends, when Al finally shows up. The infamous fourth Sci Guy.
He's the fat lady of the Sci Guys world. It's not over until Al sings.
On Latin as well, right? Ad hoc. Do you know what that means?
When, like, as and when?
Two thing. Quite literally, the Latin translation is two thing.
Two thing. Two thing, yes. As in two things? Two things? Or
no,
like,
no. Two thing as in, right,
the
to
verb,
that thing.
To
so,
thing.
Like, ad hoc means, you know, in English you'd say ad hoc, meaning just, okay, in any sort of situation, this is the thing for that sort of situation. If something is ad hoc, it's for that situation, or you could say ad hoc when you're playing it by ear and stuff as well, right? And I'm pretty sure the Latin translation is just to thing, like to the thing, you know, to this thing.
We can be the Latin guys now.
Oh, well, you know, I know some Latin.
Me too.
That's the first and last episode of The Latin Guys. Lots of people watching it thinking that we were going to be Spanish,
yeah,
especially with the look.
We need some flamenco music in the background.
Somebody saw a picture of me when I was younger the other day and they said, you look Latino. When I go to the US, I get called all number of slurs and very few of them correct.
Guys, come on. Use the right slur for me.
You're gonna be racist. At least do it right, you know? The racists nowadays, they just don't, they don't give it their all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not very well traveled.
Not like the racists of yesteryear who traveled to other places and said, this is mine now.
Yeah, they imported their racism. They imported their slurs.
They exported their racism is really what they did.
Yes.
So, no, the topic today is essentially monkeys that have been stealing the babies of monkeys of other species. As I said, this was published in a journal, and I don't know which one it is. It just says published on my notes. But let's see. A Cell Press Journal, Current Biology. It was published in Current Biology last year at time of recording. So 2025, May 19th, 2025 was when that was published. So it's pretty fresh, Luke.
I'm assuming this was in like a jungle somewhere they were studying this. It's not in captivity or...
I'm glad you asked, Luke. Yes, it was in a jungle somewhere, I think.
That's what it says. Location, jungle somewhere.
Jicaron. That's my attempt at Spanish, I assume. Jicaron.
We are the Latin guys.
Latin guys back for another episode.
Round two.
Jicaron Island in Coiba National Park in Panama.
Okay, so it's like semi-captivity. They're in a national park. They've been looked after a little bit, but still not in a cage. That's nice.
You know how big national parks are?
Yeah, I still wouldn't want to be trapped there.
Really?
I want to go on holiday. Well, I suppose if I had all my needs met and like I was protected from a bunch of stuff. Actually, that sounds lovely. Nice. Could I be one of these?
Mate, I would absolutely go and live in, I don't want to say Yosemite. I don't want to say Joshua. I don't know any national parks in the UK. Is the Lake District a national?
Yes, and the Peak District.
Okay, well, I don't like either of those. One's too wet and one's too hilly. That's just... I want a nice flat area with maybe a few hills and mountains, mm-hmm. and a nice river, mm-hmm. and a forest, mm-hmm. and a treehouse, mm. and a small theme park, maybe made of sticks and mud.
What, like the roller coasters are made of sticks and mud?
Everything's made of sticks and mud.
Okay.
The confectionaries, the concession stands, the workers, all of them made of sticks and mud, Luke. It's DEI run.
Can I just tell you a really funny, slight tangent from this about
yes,
my wife?
Save me.
You remember there's this ongoing story, I think, on this podcast where I like share things about my wife being like too sweet for her own good. One of them is like her inability to watch football because she feels sad for the team that loses, so she has to watch it 2 days later when she thinks they might have got over it by now. But she, as a child, played Roller Coaster Tycoon, and she once had one of the workers in her like theme park. It was pouring down with rain. All of her guests went into like covered areas, and this one guy was just still sweeping trash, and she just started crying because she felt so bad for him, just sweeping the trash in the rain, having to continue work because she's a tyrant of a roller coaster tycoon, and she just like burst into tears thinking of this poor man sweeping up the trash.
No, man, some video games can really touch you, you know, right? Like some people play The Last of Us, and that story between Joel and Ellie really really hit them. Red Dead Redemption has got some really really emotional scenes. Pokemon, you know, you make these sort of relationships with these little creatures that are your friends, and you become the best there ever was. And sometimes in Roller Coaster Tycoon you realize that capitalism exists.
Yeah, there is no like form a union option in Roller Coaster Tycoon, is there? There really should be.
Well, you wouldn't be able to be a tycoon then, would you?
Ah, no! You gotta be anti-unionist.
When is the last time you heard someone be called a tycoon and their industry also has unionization? When?
You have a point here. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
But maybe the game could be you union busting. That would be something to do.
Roller Coaster Union Buster. The long anticipated sequel.
It's an expansion pack.
Yeah, it's actually a subscription service. It costs £20 a month.
Very good.
God, what a world we live in. No, so it was on Jicaron Island. I really hope I'm pronouncing that correctly because I'm going all in. It's Jicaron, and that's it. If the people of Panama are angry, well, you know where to direct your ire at Luke. He loves it.
I didn't say anything. I didn't mispronounce. I just didn't even try to pronounce your island. I'm sorry.
Luke doesn't even care to try.
I respect you so much.
I care to try and fail. Okay, so it was some monkeys on this island. I don't think that they're in captivity as such because of how they had to study them. But I suppose you're right. Being in a national park is a little bit more sort of less free range, shall we say.
They're also on an island, so, you know, unless they invent a boat, what they're going to do?
Well, they do actually use tools. This group of monkeys that we're looking at do use stone tools, which is why the researchers were studying them when they found this odd behavior. So they have 86 unbaited camera traps that were deployed from January 2022 to July 2023. I almost said January 2022. We've invented a new date in January after the 31st. So it was from January 22 to July 2023. And why do you think this is relevant, that these monkeys are stealing the babies of other monkeys?
Were they making them into being slaves? Like, what do you mean, relative to humans? Like, what do you mean? Why is it relevant to...
Why does this study exist?
Well, because it's horrible. I don't know, because it's not very nice, and we're like, we should probably write this down. These monkeys are stealing babies. We need to like have a record of this. Is it a court proceeding? Are we taking the monkeys and putting them in prison? I'm sorry, sir. I don't understand the question. Please clarify.
Let me just read a quote from the paper, and maybe you'll...
This is incredibly relevant to our Patreon episode for this episode, where you just try to communicate the most basic stuff to me, and I'm like, I don't understand what's going on.
You're going to get some real constructive criticism after this. Just pre-warning you, the next Patreon episode is going to be more constructive criticism. That's funny if you've watched the Patreon, and if you haven't, well, then you probably feel left out right now. Anyway, so the quote here is, cultural traditions lacking clear function are exceptionally common in humans, partially explained by our hyper-reliance on social learning. In non-human animals, it's unclear whether the same ecological and social conditions drive the emergence of both seemingly adaptive and non-adaptive traditions.
Right. So is that saying basically, like, we have stuff that we do, which gets passed on to generations, where like sometimes it has a purpose and it has a clear utility. And sometimes it's just like, we don't really know why we do this. It's either neutral or sometimes like the opposite of beneficial to us. It actively harms us, but we continue to do it anyway.
Well, not necessarily harms us, but just like isn't helpful, right? In some
way.
It can be helpful to steal the baby of another species. We do it quite often, you know. We'll steal a kitten or a puppy. Sometimes we'll steal a ginger. They are different species, I checked.
I wasn't stolen. I'm a wheel boy.
No one would take you. Your parents would leave you out on the porch every day.
I was imposed upon somebody.
You know, do you know how you put like furniture out on the street, right? And it's technically fly tipping, but if someone takes it, it's fine. They did that with your buggy, with you in it.
No.
And people kept on taking the buggy and leaving you.
Oh, please, someone adopt me. Just please steal me. I don't even care.
Or the answer to my question that I was looking for, that I hoped you would have had, because you should have the answer to all questions that I ask you. Why does racism exist?
Oxytocin.
An answer to my question. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, so the answer that I was kind of looking for, or why this is relevant, is essentially that we don't know whether, literally the quote here, the same ecological and social conditions affect non-human animals in the same way. So we have cultural traditions that don't have any survival function.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, there's no great reason to be chopping off the tips of your son's genitals. But we do that. Not you and I personally.
Yeah.
Well, not you and I personally. We have a very, very lucrative circumcision business.
That's right. I'm just imagining, like, going home and being like, I dropped loads of the end of dicks off today, and that's how I'm going to pay my rent.
Coming home to your wife, and she's like, "Honey, we're in some real dire straits here. How was today?" Yeah. You know? And you're like, "Well, you know, I only got about 8 of them. You know, only 8 today."
Oh, that's not nearly enough.
Her bags are packed.
How are we going to feed our children?
Yeah, her bags are packed. The kids are there, starving. She's taking them to her parents because you haven't chopped off the tips of enough babies' penises.
Yeah, that is a truly, truly bizarre line of work. I hope they do other things than just that. I hope they're generally a surgeon in a few ways, not just circumcising.
Personally, I hope that they don't do anything else. I want them to be really, really highly trained on that one specific thing,
you
because if you're going to do it, you may as well do it well.
True. Yeah, you don't want someone half-assing your circumcision. That's even worse.
We've all had a bad haircut, right? We've all come out of the barbers or the hairdressers thinking, I want to die. I will never recover from this. But within, you know, a couple weeks, maybe a month, your hair is looking perfectly fine again, ready for some other student to absolutely destroy it. But when it comes to the foreskin, you really only get one.
Yeah.
Which is a misnomer, you know, if you ask me. Yeah, they call mine a five skin. Anyways.
Well, so that's interesting though. Quickly, I want to just ask you about that. So there is no benefit to circumcision, we think, now. Was there at a point? Was it a hygiene thing in the past?
I think when we did our episode on circumcision, that's probably what I said, that there are some reports that it is somewhat beneficial when it comes to limiting the spread of some STIs. But most of that, most of those benefits can also be, and also like stopping infection, right? Because you don't have a little warm flap for bacteria to grow in.
Lovely.
They love a warm flap, Luke. They love the warm flap in your face. They love the warm flap. Look, any warm flap you've got, going to be bacteria.
Any warm flap will do. That lovely song from Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Joseph and his Technicolor foreskin. Look, it was right there.
Joseph and his Technicolor warm flap. That's what they call it. They call it the dream coat, but it's just a warm flap.
Yeah, there's a really poor translation from the original Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever it was. Whatever it was that Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat was originally written in. Was it Andrew Lloyd Webber? Did he write it in Hebrew or Aramaic?
Like, I don't think
it was a combination of the two.
So it's quite poor.
Well, that's why it's a musical, because he sings them. He can't speak them, but he can sing them just... No, so yeah, I think circumcision maybe had some benefits at some point, right? But we're not living in a desert without indoor plumbing now. And all you need to do is, when you're in the shower, just roll it back and give it a rinse.
Give it a little
squish. Probably going to be fine. Well, you can give it a squish if you want, Luke, but that's...
Fill it up like a cup and pour it out.
Okay, that was too real. that was far too real. No, so basically there isn't any sort of obvious benefit to stealing the babies that they were immediately aware of. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some ideas that they had that it could have been. Do you have any idea why, how it could be beneficial to steal the baby of another species?
So I suppose, first one, you could make him a slave. They could do that. Like, that could evolve.
What would a monkey slave be used for? So remember, human slaves often used for agriculture, building sort of buildings, as they're often called. Sort of grunt work as a labor force. What do monkeys need slaves for?
Send them up the really tall trees. A predator comes and you throw that monkey to the predators, to throw him to the wolves. But I suppose the more obvious direct benefit would be that you like reduce the population of a rival species that is eating the same food as you. If there's not bountiful supply of the food that you eat, or if that other monkey species like attacks you when they grow up, so you're just like, let's weed them out whilst they're young, and then they won't attack us.
Yeah, the King Herod method, right? That's foolproof. Famously.
I think they need to read. They need to read the Old Testament. These guys. We need to convert these monkeys to Judaism.
I don't know. Can you circumcise a monkey? Has that been done before?
Well, they have to convert to Judaism first, and then you can answer that question.
They can't convert to Judaism without... The bris is going to be like a really important part of these monkeys.
So if you try to convert to Judaism, do they have to lop it off before they'll be like, you're in?
Well, I feel like that's part of the covenant with God. So like, you know, it's part of getting in, right?
Right.
It's one of the steps. First, you go to a rabbi and he rejects you three times.
Yeah.
And then some other stuff happens, and then you get the snip. And am I being offensive? Am I being culturally
insensitive? No, it's like an initiation ritual. It's like, okay, now we need to check that you really want in. All right, come on then.
And as far as I'm concerned, you know, whilst I would probably prefer Judaism as a religion for me to have, right, over, say, Christianity, the initiation ritual of Christianity is in many ways a lot easier in that they just splash some water on your head.
Yeah.
It's just a couple minutes with a super soaker and you're done.
Ah, you're wet.
You're so wet for God.
God loves you.
God got you all wet. Now eat his son's body and drink his blood, please.
Whoa, yum, yum, yum. Oh, that took a turn. I thought I just had to get splashed.
Yeah, it's really sinister, actually, isn't it?
There was a calculation I read once that was like, how many communions would you have to do to have eaten a whole Jesus?
I mean, so every Sunday?
Not in one lifetime.
Really?
Well, I think you only do it once a year. So you wouldn't eat a whole Jesus.
What? No, no way you only do it once a year. Surely you do it every week.
They only did it once a year at my church.
Well, are you Catholic?
No.
Well, Catholics are the ones that do that all the time, right? I'm a Catholic. I should know.
We did it and we weren't Catholic. So I think not.
I will say this. I think most of my siblings have different denominations.
Well, you may as well spread out, you know,
One of them's going to go to heaven, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And fingers crossed, you get a plus one for your parents, right?
You get another child, they'll be Muslim. And then after that, I don't know, something else.
Those are the major religions. Yeah. Multiple sects of Christianity, Muslim, and that's
and then something else.
Now for something entirely different. Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
Ah, make it stop.
I can't make it stop, Luke. The only people that can make it stop are the people who are watching and listening to this in their homes or places of work or in their cars or on a train or in space maybe or somewhere else. I don't know.
Make it stop, whoever you are, wherever you are.
Just go to SciGuys.co.uk and find all of their stuff there. You can find our Patreon, you can find our merch. Give us your money.
It's the advert for ourselves. Thank you to me for sponsoring me.
We'll stop putting these in if you give us enough money, or we'll put more of them in if you like them. I don't know, man. Just give us money and see what happens.
I thought it was for SciGuys.co.uk, not for the Patreon.
What? No, the SciGuys.co.uk goes to the Patreon and also to our merch store. It's a one-stop shop for all things SciGuys.
It's just got so many uses. It's like a Swiss Army knife.
It's a Swiss sci-fi guy. And that's the kind of witty retorts you pay for over on SciGuy.co.mon Patreon. These monkeys, they are stealing the babies of other monkeys. You've given a lot of good reasons, and it is apparently none of those. So, howler monkeys are much bigger than capuchins. Do you know what a capuchin monkey is? You've definitely seen a capuchin monkey before. I know that for a fact.
Are they like sort of little squirrel monkey type thing?
They're kind of like the quintessential little monkey. So yeah. Have you seen the Night at the Museum movies?
Yes, the capuchin monkey. Yeah.
I think his name is Dennis. It's kind of really rude to not refer to an actor or you know, to a character or whatever by their name. Just the monkey is kind of, not just rude, it's offensive, I think, to our fellow simians.
I'd like to apologize to Dennis. And all
I'm going to just double check that his name is...
I think you're right. I have a vague memory of Ben Stiller going, Dennis, come here, Dennis. But yes, that sort of monkey that was used in 90s cinema all the time. And the one from Friends was a capuchin monkey. The one that Ross has.
Yeah. I think, and actually as well, I believe the monkey that Homer gets is also a capuchin. The helper monkey.
Okay, that's different. Yeah, there's this,
like, just because it's animated.
Yeah, well, it's just because there's this real trend in like 90s and early 2000s TV to just stick monkeys in everything, because they kind of like developed a bunch of trained monkeys and they're like, how can we get a monkey and stuff? That makes audiences watch. Because
it did as well, though. It really worked.
They don't care about animal rights yet, so let's do that. And then we started caring about animal rights and they stopped. And then they drew it in The Simpsons instead, because then we couldn't criticize it.
I feel like monkeys are kind of absolved of some animal rights because they're more peoply, so you can kind of put them under the children's rights, which are obviously much lesser.
Yeah, only work a certain amount of times, hours a day, have to have a twin.
Your parents are only allowed to steal a certain amount of your money before you turn 18, you know.
Yeah, great. But they can invest it poorly on your behalf. That's fine.
Oh my god, I feel so bad for child actors. They're all having quite a time. Anyway, his name was Dexter. Luke, not Dennis. So apologies to all the capuchins out there.
That was a wild series where that capuchin monkey went around murdering everyone, wasn't it?
Yeah, Nightmare at the Museum. It was, honestly, best horror movie of the 2000s. So these capuchins, they are, you know a capuchin, it's quite small. You can hold a capuchin probably in your hand. I mean, it'd have to be like sitting on it and it'd probably be quite heavy, but like, you know, you could kind of have one dangling off of your arm. They're not huge, probably about the size of a toddler, but much more lithe.
And more spindly, I think. They're not quite so muscular and built.
No, that's what lithe means.
Oh, is it? I thought you just meant they're alive.
No, much more alive than a toddler. Yes. On average, monkeys are more...
Yeah, because they're like... crawling up and grabbing your hair. Toddlers are just like... mill biscuits.
Honestly, your monkey impression there was just what you do when the camera isn't on you.
That's me when I take my baby to soft play. Let's go.
Yeah, so howler monkeys are much bigger than capuchins. They are three times the weight of an immature capuchin. So abducting a howler monkey baby is going to be risky. And I haven't said this yet, but it's not adult capuchins that are doing this. It's juvenile or subadult males that are primarily doing it.
So they're the juvenile capuch Capuchins? I can't remember. Basically, the juvenile of the smaller type of monkey is stealing the babies of the larger monkey.
Yes.
Are they like mistaking them for themselves? Because they are like, they're a junior male and then there's a baby of a bigger thing and they're the same size. They're like, let's be friends.
Oh, God, no. No, I'm not laughing at you.
Okay.
I'm laughing at the knowledge that I have.
I don't like that's foreboding. Oh, no.
No, so basically, these monkeys are taking the babies of these much larger monkeys. We don't know how they've done it specifically because they're doing it up in the trees where the cameras aren't. But we do know that obviously it's going to be a difficult sort of thing. There's some evidence. I say we have some evidence as though I've done this study. There's some evidence that there are sort of multiple males that are helping each other do this or like kind of scaring off the adults.
This is dark.
It's not that dark. It's fun.
These are teenage horrible gangs.
You're looking at it in such a horrible negative way. Look, I'm looking at this as these sort of forward-thinking monkeys who are, you know, using tools. They have science, okay? Mm. These science, high-minded, big-brained monkeys stealing the sort of the offspring of a lesser species to give them a better life.
Yeah, you know? Very Madonna of them.
Dude, oh my God.
That sounded a lot worse than I thought it did.
I know exactly what you mean, and I'm not gonna add anything to that because I love it.
I don't like it.
No clarification needed. So yeah, they basically, some other monkeys helped stop the adult howlers from getting their babies back. And what it says here is evidenced by Capuchins threatening an adult howler during an attempted escape. And there's a by H10 because they've numbered all of the they've numbered all of the howler babies. And I think probably the Capuchins that are doing the stealing and carrying. So this happened, as we said, in Jicaron Island in Coiba National Park in Panama. There were 86 unbaited camera traps, as I've said. I've already been through all of this, I think. They were studying these monkeys already because they use tools. And over this sort of period, 11 different sort of infant or sub-adult howler monkeys. Oh, sorry. 11 different infant howler monkeys were abducted. And 5 sub-adult or juvenile male white-faced Capuchin monkeys were carriers. Like, quite literally carrying the baby howlers around. Because you know how sort of baby monkeys are carried around by their
like
parents?
On their chests or on their tummies or like, yeah, on their...
Yeah, they just cling.
Yeah.
And it's one of, I think it's probably somewhat related to the reason that when your hand is at rest, it is kind of a little bit closed.
Yeah, I mean, when babies are born, they like literally just grasp anything instinctively. Like anything touches their hand, they immediately just go... Bow.
Granted, they suck at holding themselves onto stuff. You got to hold them. They're terrible at it. Not as good as monkeys. But it's the same sort of reflex. Yeah. And the idea of like your sort of hand naturally resting in a kind of closed position is probably more related to wanting to cling onto branches when you're relaxed rather than opening your hand when you relax. So you just kind of let go and fall
to your death.
Yeah,
those ones that did that, they got evolved out.
Quite literally, yes. So it was over a period of 15 months, as I've said, and here is a little quote for you. We captured the origin of this howler abduction tradition, starting with one sub-adult male innovator. And it spread to 4 subadult and juvenile males. Yeah,
he's a real smart guy. He's the real sort of
he's the Tony Stark,
Mark Zuckerberg of the monkey world.
Sorry, we're only using fake billionaires from now on because all of the real ones are evil.
Ah, okay. Who's the fake one?
Tony Stark.
Okay, cool.
Or Elon Musk. You could use him too.
Yeah, he's not real. He's a myth.
I heard if you say Elon Musk 3 times in a mirror, he'll send you an email begging you to come through your mirror and hang out.
But then he'll claim he doesn't ever speak to you, and he never did.
Well, he doesn't have any friends, look. But no, Capuchins and howlers. So Capuchins and howlers, both very well-studied species. They have overlap in their habitats, and I think this is the only time this has been seen, right? So despite these two different species living close by in similar areas, we've not actually seen Capuchins steal the babies of howler monkeys before. And I'll just read another couple quotes here. Most reports of interspecific interaction involve aggression from Capuchins to howlers, with some reports of infant play and grooming. But there was no interspecific play or grooming here. There wasn't really a lot of aggression either. They say that the interactions were typically neutral, with dorsal or ventral carrying during normal activities, so on the front or on their back. And in four sightings, the carrier nipped or swatted at the infant. In two of the sightings, the carrier embraced the infant, and all later adopters, they were using stone tools whilst carrying the howler monkey babies, which, you know, as I'm sure you can guess, is not a very safe thing for a baby to be around, right? Using a stone tool.
Yeah.
And oh my God, sorry, I just saw this in my notes. There was one time that the howler infant fell off of the capuchin that was carrying it because he was using a stone tool. So they're not, what we're trying to get across here, I say what we're trying to get across again as though I've written the study, I didn't. What they're trying to get across here is that the later adopters of this sort of fashion trend, I guess, didn't necessarily care for the well-being of the baby monkeys.
Bad mothers, yeah.
Well, they're dads, really, you know, adoptive dads, which isn't a dad just the, in many ways, just a worse mum? No, that's so sexist.
Just so I can understand, and just double checking here. So the bigger monkeys, they are actively taking the baby monkeys.
Capuchins are smaller than howler monkeys, and they're taking the infants of the...
Right. But what I mean is that they are bigger than the babies they're stealing, is what I mean.
Yeah, not by a huge amount, but yeah.
And they are doing that deliberately. It's not like the little baby ones are just grabbing onto them. They are actively taking them away, but then also like using stone tools and stuff, showing they don't really care about the well-being of these baby monkeys. But it also sounds like they're not that fussed about actually keeping them held on, because if one falls off, and because they were just going like bang, bang, bang with a stone, they're not even trying that hard to keep them stuck to them, are they?
Well, no, not that hard. Well, that one, only one of
only
one of the 11 monkeys that they saw being sort of stolen fell off in that instance. So, you know, one out of 11, you know, you're allowed to drop a baby like once or twice.
You get, everyone gets one. One pass.
Yeah, you get a couple good drops in before it starts, you know, being a problem. You're right on the brink, man.
I've never dropped
right,
my baby.
You're right on that brink.
Oh,
no,
right.
You,
no,
yeah, you were on
the brink. I think we can all agree on that. My mum was like, just one more, please. Just one more.
Putting you in one of those dunk tanks, right? Like just a tiny little baby throwing things at the target to drop you in it. Because babies float, Luke. Don't try that at home. I don't know if that's true. I'm pretty sure it is. They should float, right?
I hope so.
Well, you have one. Go and check after the episode.
I've never let go of her in the pool, so who knows? I don't think she'd float, though. No, she's hench.
I don't know, dude. A pool is a great place to... like, because it's really easy to lose someone when you're at a swimming pool. So if you're ever thinking about, like, you know, giving up this whole dad business, you know, leaving her at the pool for another happy, maybe family of a different species to pick up and look after...
I just get out of the park and she's just hanging out with a bunch of ducks.
She'd do well as a duck, I think. No, so this one person who was doing their sort of PhD, who is the lead author, whose name I said earlier, Zoe Goldsborough. I'm pretty sure it was her. When I say I'm pretty sure, I know it was her. I watched a video. Anyway, Zoe Goldsborough was doing her PhD. She saw a picture. She basically saw one of these capuchin monkeys carrying a howler monkey and was like, that's weird, and sent it to, I think, her supervisor or someone else that she was working with on this research project. And then they started this whole sort of specific research into this sort of carrying phenomenon because of that sort of just chance spot sighting, I guess.
It's really the Viagra of monkey research.
Would you like to explain that?
No.
Okay, let's
move on.
Google
it.
So they didn't see any player grooming, like I said, but that's the previous section. Basically, they looked at all multimedia after the first evidence that they saw, that first picture, with 131 sightings. So that doesn't mean 131 sort of, you know, monkeys.
Babies.
Yeah, it's just 131 sightings. Many of them were probably the same monkeys. So they deployed 47 cameras in multiple non-tool using groups on the same island, and they didn't see that behavior spread to them. And they also go on to say, due to this extensive longitudinal monitoring, we're confident we captured the tradition's origin near the 26th of January 2022 with the sighting of a juvenile capuchin carrying a howler infant. And they're basically saying that this demonstrates that using cameras like this can do more than just sort of see how many species there are. It literally says quantify species and behavioral richness. It can successfully document cultural dynamics in unhabituated animals.
It's interesting that you said that they didn't see this in the groups that don't use tools. So that suggests there's a correlation between like being thick and also not stealing monkeys' babies, which is nice. Or are they not? Because is tool use, I suppose, is it like a trend thing? Or maybe the baby stealing is also a trend thing?
Yeah, you're on the right track there. I think kind of equating intelligence with tool use, it's a very human thing to do. And you're not wrong for doing it. But the monkeys that don't use tools aren't necessarily more thick than the other monkeys.
As you put it, in quotes, more thick. The monkeys, they're not necessarily, as you put it, thick as shit.
Sick.
Yeah, but we do often use, in like animal research, like using a tool is seen as like you've passed some level of intelligence generally, is it not?
Yeah. Being able to use tools is a sort of benchmark for intelligence that we use. But, you know, these other monkeys probably are capable of using tools. They just don't because of cultural trends, probably. I'm not a monkey researcher.
The Amish monkeys.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, actually.
No, that leads to misery. We will not use that rock. Put it down.
I don't want to see a monkey dressed up
with a little hat on. Yeah. Well, guess what, Corey? You live in an era of AI where you can ask AI to make you a little capuchin monkey dressed as an Amish.
I'd rather burn down every forest in the world than do that. And hey, I can do both at the same time. Two birds, one stone. Or actually, all birds, no stones.
No stones.
Yeah. They didn't see it in any other groups. And over the following 4 months, one subadult male emerged as the main carrier. He carried 4 different howler infants for up to 9 days. And then other monkeys were around, other capuchins were around to see this. So they say exposure occurred as other capuchins were present in 14 of 20 sightings, but showed minimal interaction with howler infants, except for howler 3, whose corpse was pulled on by the innovator and 2 subsequent carriers.
Corpse?
Yeah. Oh, it's also, if you go to the study, which is obviously linked below, there are a bunch of figures, there are some videos as well of, like, not necessarily of specifically this, but there is a picture of them pulling on the corpse of Howler 3.
How did he die?
Malnutrition mostly is how they died.
Oh.
Yeah, they weren't feeding them, they were just kind of wearing them. It's kind of like, think about goldfish in shoes. Like that.
Corey, this is horrible. Why have you brought this to me?
No, it's fun.
No.
It's monkeys.
No. But it's dead monkeys.
Yeah, monkeys die, man. This is nature. Well, there's nothing sad about it.
Baby monkeys don't die.
Okay, look.
That would be too harsh of a world.
Baby monkeys absolutely die.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, well.
Let me live in my little walled garden.
Think about it this way. Look, if you're watching a nature documentary.
Yeah.
And say you see a lion chasing a gazelle.
Yeah.
And then the lion doesn't catch the gazelle. How do you feel?
Fantastic.
Right.
Yeah.
But what if it's a lion nature documentary and then you see the lion go back to its pride and it's feeling very not prideful because it hasn't caught them any food and they're all going to starve? How do you feel then?
Well, I'd be like, you know, that's hard for you, buddy. But have you considered veganism?
You're what's wrong with the world, my guy.
I'm joking. But what I mean is like, I would feel sad for it, but wouldn't feel sad for it in the same way as like the thing that's dead. Like there's a different, that's socially difficult for you. And, you know, I hope you get through that. But the other thing is just a dead thing.
They'll starve to death otherwise.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
All I'm saying is that it's just a matter of framing.
Would you rather starve to death or get ripped apart by a lion?
That's really hard to say.
Yeah, I know.
I think the thing for me is I need to remember how lions kill you.
Yeah.
Because I think there is some kind of big cat that kind of just goes for the neck.
Mm.
And that's fine. Because then you're kind of done pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are others that go for the genitals and stuff. I think hyenas probably do that.
Yeah, you don't want to be hunted by dogs. That's long and painful.
Oh, yeah, no, dogs. Bears are the worst. Bears will just sit and, eat you alive.
When I was a child, the animal kingdom was so lovely and all the animals played together. And then you grow up and it's just a bunch of dickheads, like just fluffy dickheads.
Well, when I was a child, look, I was very realistic about the animal queendom. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is that something you've got to say?
Yeah, I support women, Luke.
I see. Okay.
What else needs to be said? Huh?
Fine. Okay.
What else needs to be said? I support women.
You're so woke.
Anyway, back to the monkeys. So I said that one of them died, a bunch of them died, actually. And another quote here, from September 2022 to March 2023, we observed these capuchins carrying at least 7 different howler infants aged 1 to 2 days to 4 weeks for 2 to 8 day stretches, totaling 11 unique howler infants. So they weren't carrying them for all that long, and they were very, very young babies, mm-hmm. like quite literally a couple days old to maybe a month at most.
The best thing I can imagine this is like, it's almost like they're pets or like toys or whatever. Like how I used to like collect like a few woodlice in a box and keep them. And I would not, I mean, I would stick a, like a leaf in there and be like, eat that. But, you know, I wouldn't be necessarily a very good mother to these woodlice, and they would all end up dead. And that if a woodlouse was doing a podcast and was like, these humans steal baby woodlice and they don't feed them and they end up dead, then they'd be like, ah, that's horrible. But for me, I'm like, I'm a baby and I stole this woodlouse and I put him in a pot and I don't know what to do. So he's dead now. And it kind of sounds like that, right? It's like they're just like grabbing them and then just like taking them with them, and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm a juvenile monkey, I don't know how to feed this thing, and then it dies, and they're like, why is it dead? And it's horrible to read about and hear about, and I really hope you're not going to tell me this is something much, much worse than what I think it is.
No, it's not that much worse. It's probably about as bad as you think it is. So my next section is abduction or adoption.
Where's the line?
Not relevant for this, because they have definitely crossed the line. But the reason I bring this up is because, you know, there are cases of some monkeys, some simians, adopting infants from other species, mm-hmm. you know, infants that have been rejected by their parents for whatever reason, you know, you'd know all about that. But that's usually females that would sort of do the adopting. Mm-hmm. Males, less common for male monkeys to adopt babies of an... You've seen Tarzan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Tarzan. It's like Tarzan, basically, right? Because, like, you know, she comes home, she's like, Phil Collins is playing, and I have a weird little white baby boy. His parents were killed by a cheetah, just like our baby. Can we replace our baby with him?
That's my favorite line in Tarzan, yeah.
Yeah, and then Kerchak is like, no, I am the big alpha gorilla monkey, and my arc is to not like Tarzan until I do and then die. Spoilers.
In case you haven't seen Tarzan.
Yeah, yeah, that's a line in Tarzan.
That was on my this weekend's watch list, Corey. God's sake.
Tarzan is a perfect view of how primates work. And you can take that to the bank. Uh-huh. No, so these infants were not being saved.
No, really?
Well, they heard the parents doing lost calls and like the infants also doing lost calls for like 30 minutes, for up to 30-minute periods.
30 minutes? Come on. Work a bit harder.
I mean, it's in a jungle, man. You know, if you've lost your baby after 30 minutes, it's probably it's probably gone for good.
We'll make another one.
Quite literally, yeah. They've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, I'm bored as hell. Come on, let's shag.
Yeah, but they think it was abduction rather than adoption for a few reasons. Like I said, a lot of these infants died, probably from malnourishment. They can't actually tell, obviously, because, you know, they're not watching them 24/7, but it would seem that it was from malnourishment. They never saw them trying to nurse them or anything, but they didn't see them trying to wound them or harm them either. They didn't eat them either, you
that's
know?
Good. So, that's, we love to see it.
Yeah, so it wasn't because they were hungry, it wasn't because they were trying to save them. They think that maybe the first monkey might have been a bit confused and like sort of been doing
What have I done?
Sort of like parenting instincts, right? Mm. So it might have been like sort of a misapplied parental sort of thing, right? It was like, oh, I'm going to be a dad. I need to look after a baby. This is a baby. I'm going to look after it.
The fatherly urge to pick up the baby and then not have any clue what to do next.
The fatherly urge to pick up the wrong baby and have absolutely no idea.
Oh, what have I done? Oh, now it's dead. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, the number of times you've brought home a different child from nursery, Luke. And honestly, it's weird that they're never the same race.
I just don't see race, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, you and Madonna are like neck and neck for number of Ethiopian children saved.
Yeah, but I give mine back. That's the difference.
Yeah, worse off as well. Like, now you know how bad it can really get. Yeah, go back and enjoy your life.
I can't handle this. I haven't got any number one hits.
No, so these monkeys were probably abducting for some of the following reasons. These new infants were coming in quite often, so it wasn't like you wouldn't expect that if they were saving them, right? You'd probably get some few and far between, but there was a case of two of them arriving into the sort of colony at the same time. So
right, you know,
Yeah, they were stealing the babies.
Yeah.
They were fully just this lifting like these babies.
When I came home from the shop with a little toy train that I'd stolen, except it's with a baby from a different species.
Yeah, and their mums did not make them take it back.
Yeah, it was like, ah, you little scamp.
They also forcibly prevented the infants from escaping.
Aww.
Yeah, they were the baby howlers were trying to get away. And the adult howlers, which it then says in brackets, out of frame yet audible, lost called back and forth with infants for up to 30-minute periods. Yeah. So, you know, they were being stolen. They were fully just taking these babies from the howler monkeys, and they didn't know why. But luckily, Luke, the section in my notes that comes next is called Why.
Fantastic. We love to see it.
No, but why do you think? You've given some reasons already. I think you said, like, sort of to reduce competition, maybe. Anything else you've got?
Well, I quite like the idea that it's a sort of misfiring instinct of, like, you sort of, you have this instinct to sort of pick the thing up, and then after that you don't have any instincts after, like, to sort of pick up the slack after that. But then that would be sort of like ruled out by the fact that they were literally trying to stop them from leaving.
If you love something, let it go.
Yes, exactly. Which means you clearly don't love the baby you stole. surprising that. I also said possibly, like, because there's competition for food and that reduces the competition from a different species. Or if they were getting attacked, because you said that the monkeys they were stealing ultimately end up growing up bigger than the monkeys doing the stealing. So it could protect them from future predators. It's really the kind of, like, killing baby Hitler of the monkey world, you know?
Yeah, that's the kind of forward planning you absolutely expect from a monkey. Let's kill this baby so that in, what, 10 years it's not going to be a problem?
Yeah, well, but you could evolve. It could evolve that, even if they don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah, no, that's so fair. Like, they just suddenly, one of them just spontaneously steals a baby, and then they're like, this is good. And yeah,
that guy had 50 children. And so then all of the children were monkey baby stealers.
Yeah, monkey baby stealing is a genetic trait, 100%.
No, so I'm guessing you're going to say it's a fashion thing of, like, it's a sort of, maybe it's a flex of, like, how good you are at stealing stuff, how good you are at getting stuff.
Those are all really good ideas, yeah.
Went into the lion's den and you came back with a cub. Whoa, you must be badass.
Sometimes I just like leaving you to see.
Yeah, maybe these are like Andrew Tate. They're Andrew Tates. These are the Andrew Tate baby adolescent monkeys.
I would argue that they're the kind of Madonna monkeys, right? It's the same thing. It's the same thing, you know?
But the Madonna monkey baby is like a flex of, like, look how many spare resources I have. I can go and gift them to these otherwise struggling children and bring them away to my world. Whereas this is very much a, like, look how badass I am. I stole this monkey. I don't know what I'm doing. Uh-oh, it's dead.
What are you basing that on? Where have you got your interpretation of these monkeys' vibes and values?
Well, but they're not looking after them. My point is that Madonna was, like, looking after the baby. She wasn't just like, look how great I am at getting babies and then just letting them all die.
Well, one, maybe they're trying to look after them. They're just bad parents. And two, how do you know that Madonna actually looked after those kids?
I think I would have read it in the press if all the babies Madonna stole, or, like, not stole, but adopted, were, like, dead. I think that would have been pretty big news, and she probably wouldn't be, like, the judge on whatever TV shows she's the judge of now.
Hey, look, at some point, all of those kids are going to be dead. And then you'll be sorry, won't you?
But she'll be dead first, so...
Oh, maybe, I don't
we
know.
We can't hold her accountable at that point.
No, so you hit some good points there. They don't eat the same stuff, so it's not about competition for resources. It's probably unlikely that you'd steal a baby to limit competition in the future, right? And if that were the case, they wouldn't just be stealing them and having them hang out. They'd probably be just killing them.
True that.
Yeah, and there are, like, as I've said, there's anecdotal evidence of sort of interspecies adoption. But as I said, usually it's females that would do that, mm-hmm. and females would be the ones that would carry the babies. Male white-faced capuchins exhibit alloparental care, little quote there for you, which is basically just short periods of play and carrying. Another little quote for you. So, like, what that's saying is essentially that these kinds of capuchins, the males will sometimes look after the babies, but it's just kind of play. It's basically what human dads usually do, right?
So they're basically cosplaying as dads who don't actually do any of the feeding or nurturing. They just carry the baby around. And then, but then the girl monkeys of that age are not cosplaying as the, I'm going to feed this baby.
They're probably looking after actual baby.
Yeah, right. And so these adolescent monkeys, they're basically doing a great job of being a very uninvolved dad, but then nobody else is there to do the other half.
And that just shows you what a world of only men would look like. Amazing. Perfect.
Loads of dead babies.
Well, there wouldn't be any babies, Luke. Well, there would be some babies probably, but...
It is interesting though, like I see in my baby, like she really wants to... She has a real, like, you know, whether it's instinct as in like just like biological or like that she's learned from us, she's not two yet. And she really does. She goes up to her little baby toys and gives them milk and goes, milk, milk, milk. And then like gets the milk and pretends to refill it and then takes it to the baby again and then gets it to, takes it to us and puts it in our mouth. Like she's got a real like ingrained want or learned want, but she has obviously wanted to want to do it. To look after a thing. And she does it to like the dogs. She goes and takes them food and goes, you know, I just find that fascinating.
Do you know that she actually wants to take care of the thing? Or is she just imitating the behavior that is most often shown to her? Do you know what I mean?
Of course, but like, you know, if that was a little alive thing and the bottle of milk actually had a bottle of milk in, doesn't really matter if she's imitating it, if the baby she was giving it to did get some sustenance.
You know, all I'm saying is that there's a difference. There's a sort of, I guess, qualitative difference between doing something, just imitating a behavior,
yeah,
to imitate it, and engaging in a behavior with the intent of care.
You're right. She's playing. She might be play acting. Things. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's just like fooling you guys, man. It's full on gaslighting. Do you know what I mean? She's being so fake. She's pretending to care. She's love bombing those
she's
toys.
She's love bombing the baby.
Yeah. She's love bombing the baby. She's love bombing the toys. Okay. Only to take it away at some point.
Yeah.
Right.
Usually
you got to watch out for that
immediately after she gets bored.
Oh my God. No. No, Luke. You're raising a sociopath. No.
Now I will say that. She takes the milk and she puts it in her toy oven, and that's definitely not imitating because we don't do that with her milk. So I don't know where she's got that.
She goes and like
warms
some
it up
in the, oven,
in the toy
right?
oven, and like she was breastfed. She's never seen that behavior ever. So I don't know. And we don't warm up her milk that she drinks from a bottle. So I don't know what she's trying to do there, but yeah,
maybe she's trying to signal to you. Can you start warming up the milk, please?
I don't want cold milk anymore, guys. Look, you need to start imitating me back because this is not good enough. I don't want cold milk.
She's just there thinking like, these idiots are not getting the memo. How more obvious can I make it?
Warm up the milk before you give it to the baby. You've got to shake. How many times?
There are no sort of benefits to them doing this to survival. Fitness benefits. There are no fitness benefits or sort of positive social reinforcement either, because it's not like the other monkeys, when they see these males doing it, they're like, oh, good job, well done. They're not grooming them or anything. They're kind of, they're not giving them aggression necessarily, but they're kind of keeping their distance. The infants are keeping their distance. The females aren't grooming them. You know, there's not a lot of sort of, yeah, positive social reinforcement essentially, right? They're just kind of doing it. So one of the reasons that they give here is that infants might also function as a status symbol or a way to avoid conflict.
Monkey jewelry.
Basically, right? Living monkey jewelry. It goes on to say, however, carriers do not receive positive social attention from groupmates. We did see adult capuchins threatening carriers and juveniles observing them from a distance. The only infant transfer we observed was not competitive. Instead, the carrier lost interest and another individual retrieved the discarded howler.
Maybe it's a way to get out of chores. Like, can you do the dishes, please? Can't you see I'm busy? I'm carrying a monkey from a different species. What are you doing?
What are monkey dishes?
What are monkey dishes? Yeah, good point. It was a metaphor. Like, can you go and gather some fruit, please, buddy? Excuse me, I'm currently carrying a monkey. You do it yourself, mate. I'm busy.
And yet all the females are gathering fruit whilst also carrying their own actual babies, right?
It's just, yeah, maybe they're pretending to be the females. That me too, wee,
yeah,
I got
okay.
A baby
with a baby of a completely different species. Absolutely.
Maybe the female monkey's been going, you don't know how hard it is, and then the men are going, well, I'll carry a baby then to see how hard it is,
and then they get bored and just drop it.
And they're like, oh, you had a point, actually, that was quite hard.
But I've got this fun new toy to play with.
Wee!
But it was only immature males that were carrying these howler babies, and the study says quite literally, I'm just reading a quote, look, okay?
Mm-hmm.
High tendency to innovate and learn socially, also evidenced by them being prolific tool users. So these are the most likely of these sort of monkeys, I guess, to follow a trend.
Okay, because they've picked up on the tool use meme. And then they're going to pick up on the baby stealing meme too.
Yeah, exactly. Monkey see, monkey do, but
they're the Twitter bros of the monkeys.
Basically, yeah. Basically just immature, oh, right, no, it's, wow, we are not as evolved as we thought. Or monkeys are far more evolved. The innovator, the first one to do it, showed pro-social interactions with and a complete absence of aggression towards the infants he carried. So it's what I was saying earlier about misdirected alloparental care. So maybe the first one was like, oh, I'm going to be nice to this baby because I should be nice to babies. And then all these other monkeys saw him doing it and were like, yo, this is cool. Like, should we have like baby monkeys too? Okay, let's go steal some monkey. Let's go steal some monkey babies. Okay, he's dropped his monkey baby. Let's pick it up, right? I'm going to have this now. This is my, it's thrifting.
The first one's basically an influencer.
Yeah, quite lit. Yeah, he's a monkey influencer.
Maybe
with 11 followers.
Who's he being paid by? Because, and did he hashtag ad when he took that first baby? Because maybe there's an enemy of these monkeys that has paid the first monkey innovator a spawn deal, steal the monkey to influence your fellow monkeys. So we need to like follow the money, Corey.
Does the ASA have jurisdiction in Panama?
They're going to try. The ASA doesn't have any jurisdiction over anything. They just,
no, I know.
They just go to the press and go, Luke didn't declare his Oreo spawn.
Did you do one of those?
No! This is the thing, Corey. I didn't do an Oreo spawn. I was in somebody else's Oreo spawn and I got shit on by the BBC as if it was mine. It wasn't even mine!
Yeah, no, we know a few people that like actually were involved in that, right?
Yeah, we were all dunked on. It was a group of people doing the Oreos, but I was the flipping BBC homepage advert picture on there going, this guy didn't declare his spawn. I didn't get anything for this spawn.
You can't buy that kind of publicity, Luke. You just can. And you know what? It works, right? Because we're now talking about this monkey, okay? He's gone from having 11 followers to being broadcast to all 12 followers of Psygon.
It's interesting. The last time, which was fairly recently, I heard about monkeys following a social trend. It was monkeys putting sticks up their butt. And I was like, that's, what the hell's going on there? I don't think I'm going to hear a social trend more weird than that. And then the next one is monkeys stealing babies and having them die.
Yeah, I don't know which one is weirder, because do monkeys have a G-spot? We're asking the hard-hitting questions here on SciGuys. Luke, do monkeys have a G-spot?
I guess there's only one way to find out.
And we're going to launch our new series, Luke, very soon. SciGuys Try, and that'll be the first episode where Luke tries to find out if a monkey has a G-spot. He gets very hands-on and hands-in.
Why is it me? Why aren't you joining in the monkey sex?
Because you told me I wasn't allowed. You volunteered and said, I want to do this on my own.
No, this is just gaslighting.
No, you said you wanted to honor Steve Irwin's memory by sticking your fingers inside of monkeys.
That is a reference I do not understand, and nor do I want to.
I don't know why you made it then, Luke, because I was very confused myself. Okay, well, if you don't want to promo the new series, if you're feeling a little embarrassed about it, then we can just move
on. It's meant to only be on OnlyFans, Corey. It's a secret series.
Yeah, OnlyFans rejected it, man. They said that only human primates allowed for some reason. Yeah, Luke was patient zero for AIDS. Anyway, moving on. The later adopters, as I said, were using sort of risk. They were engaging in risky behavior, unlike the innovator.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably weren't doing it out of some sort of misdirected parental feelings, right? They were just kind of following the lead of this innovator and being like, this looks pretty cool. This is pretty fun. And an actual quote here from the study is, this may best be understood as a fashion trend similar to the grass and ear behavior in chimpanzees. And I looked that up. A chimpanzee named Julie put grass in her ear once, and then a bunch of other chimps started doing that, and then Julie died, and those other chimps carried on wearing grass in her ear.
That's the butt one. That's the sticks in the butt one. They've changed from grass in the ear, and I don't know if it's sticks or grass, but it's grass in the butt now.
That is, honestly, that is exactly how fashion trends have evolved for humans as well. It's gone from, I'm going to wear a tall hat, to, I'm going to pierce holes in my body and make them as big as I possibly can.
And next year, I'm going to stuff a tall hat on my ass.
On SciGuys Tries, episode 2, Luke tries to find Abraham Lincoln's hat and shove it up his...
Yay!
Okay, we gotta limit these references because we're coming to the last few minutes of this episode. And if we say things like that in the last few minutes, YouTube will get really mad.
It's just there in the middle where they're not listening.
Yeah, where they get bored and give up. That's the beauty of this podcast, right? No one who is a human reviewer can bear to sit through it. So we fly right under the radar. No, so I'll tell you what the actual reason for this is, right? You've got one last guess, right? You've heard all the reasons that it isn't. Why do you think monkeys are doing this in a sort of holistic sense? What is the cause, the root cause?
Young men being stupid and showing off to try and attract a mate.
No.
Okay.
Nothing to do with attracting mates.
Okay.
Boredom is what they think. They think the monkeys are just bored, essentially. So
we need to get them a PlayStation.
I think that would probably the other be really
monkeys
good for them.
Need to invest in a PlayStation. If they want their children to live.
Or the Capuchins, because if the Howler monkeys got a PlayStation, I fear the Capuchins would just steal it from them.
No, so the monkeys whose children are being stolen need to invest in a PlayStation to give to the other monkeys so that they can breed in peace.
Right. Good to know.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll get your notes sent right over to the researchers of this, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Zoe will be reading it post-haste. No, so... basically, they go on to say, innovations are common on islands due to both ecological need and behavioral opportunity. In a video I watched from the researchers, they were kind of saying, there's not a lot to do on the island, so, you know, you've got a lot of free time, right? You've either got to, if you're a castaway on an island, you need to figure out how to get food and then get that food. But other than that, it's just, you know, if there's not a lot of predators and stuff as well, you've got a lot, like as a monkey, living in a group of monkeys. It's almost all free time, right? Mm-hmm. You're grooming and the food is just kind of growing on, quite literally growing on trees. And so in these sort of island environments, there's a lack of predation and they're understimulated. And so sometimes they do weird stuff.
And it's a national park. So they're even like, it's being looked after as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they're just so bored.
And they go on to say that boredom is where a lot of innovation can occur, right? You can be really creative when you're bored. I think an actual quote from the video, which is, again, linked below, is that we are at our most creative when we're bored, which I don't know if that's true. When I'm really, really bored, I don't know how creative I am, Luke. I mean, I suppose, though, because... you know, doing this podcast, hearing you talk, I find that I make my best jokes after listening to you. So maybe boredom does breed innovation.
Usually about me as well.
Yeah, you're a good target.
I mean, like, just look at science. Like, science was started by a bunch of rich dudes with nothing to do because they had loads of money. And they were just like, oh, let's see what happens if you get lightning and you put it up your butt.
Yeah, quite literally. It's like, what if we do this weird thing? How does this work? What if I...
I've got far too much money and a bunch of servants to do everything.
I was literally about to mention the servants.
Oh, let's see what happens if I mix these things together. Woo!
What is it? Is it Mendel who was like, let me just breed these peas to see what happens? Amazing.
Thanks,
amazing.
Bored rich guys.
Literally, and I've said this before, but I think we need a return to this, right? Because now our rich guys are running, you know, well, word I can't say on YouTube, rings. And instead of that, maybe they should just get back to the science, you know?
Yeah.
If we had like sort of science, scrap the science programs for women, scrap the science programs for underprivileged youths, scrap all of them. Billionaire-focused science programs to get them interested.
Well, but crucially, it has to be entirely just like for their own like boredom. It can't be for financial gain or even really for fame. It has to be just because they've got nothing to do. So you need to get a bunch of weird men, do everything for them so that they have no needs whatsoever, and then watch them and see what magic they create.
They might actually, you know, offer something good to the world for once. That'd be amazing.
Instead of
destroying the world with Amazon, Jeff Bezos could have come up with, you know, a hoverboard. Wouldn't that have been fun? Huh?
So that was the future we were promised.
It was.
And instead we got books the next day. Sometimes the same day.
Hey, look, I can order MSG and it can arrive then, like when I'm making the meal, you know? That's
utopia
amazing.
Utopia is here.
I don't need to leave the house or speak to another human. And now I feel anxious and scared and I don't like people. But that's good.
Oh, dear.
No, so these monkeys, they think, are just bored. They got a lot of free time. There's a lot of sort of complex social interactions. And, you know, copying behaviors is good for the monkeys, right? Generally, if a monkey is engaging in a behavior that is useful, if you copy that behavior, you're also going to reap the benefits, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can result in tool use, you know, using tools to, I don't know, crack open hard nuts or whatever it is that they do. And other times it can result in stealing monkeys and letting them starve to death because you just want to wear a baby howler monkey. But the issue, Luke, to end on a more serious sort of note, the issue is that the howler monkeys in Jicarón are an endangered subspecies.
Oh. Yeah, Someone needs to get these kids a PlayStation. Come on. So if these it's a couple hundred quid. You can save some monkeys.
So if these capuchins keep on stealing...
get so bored you do genocide?
Monkey genocide. And do you know what? It's the same sort of demographic that is behind both, you know?
Young men.
Bored young men, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, bored young men. But no, so they say if this carries on, if this tradition of infant abduction persists, it poses a serious conservation risk. Which I think is hilarious because usually what we're trying to do is protect animals from humans. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we're protecting them from other monkeys. We're just taking them for no reason. And that's another thing that they bring up, that humans have a lot of cultural traditions that are harmful to animals. You know, the running of the bulls,
sacrificing sheep in the Bible.
And the running of the bulls, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good one.
All of those many, many examples. Yeah, right? You know, it's got right them all locked up there. But all of these sort of examples, those are cultural behaviors that are harmful to other animals. You could also say like fox hunting, things like that, right?
Yes.
But this is not necessarily entirely novel, but it's something that we don't see necessarily a huge amount of, just engaging in behavior that is sort of a cultural thing, that is harmful to another species or another organism, but serves like no, benefit to the organism that's sort of engaging in the behavior, right? You can maybe see it in like killer whales and stuff and dolphins. But seeing this in monkeys is just interesting. They're getting bored and messing with other species.
It's interesting though, because it also shows you sort of how evolution happens, not necessarily genetic evolution, but also like mimetic evolution, like the evolving of ideas. Because in this specific scenario, the thing that they decided to do out of boredom is not beneficial to them. But it's entirely possible that they would do something out of boredom that accidentally happens to then be really beneficial to them. And then it becomes a sort of cultural thing, and then eventually even gets folded into the gene pool through this thing, I can't remember, where basically like you can have a meme, you can have an idea that then if it's beneficial to you, the monkeys say that are better at it genetically will then be better at it again, until eventually over many generations it becomes genetic. That just blows my mind. It's fascinating. But you can kind of see how like a random chance event, it could have been that these monkeys did share a food source, and then it would have been very beneficial for them to kill their children, unfortunately. And then that would have actually been beneficial, and it wouldn't have come about because the monkey was really clever. It would have come about just through like random chance. This thing, we just decided to do this thing and it happened to be really good, which is evolution.
Yeah, it's evolution in action. And that was a really good sort of capper. So I guess we'll probably stop there. Is there anything else you want to add, Luke?
Just that, again.
Usually you have something to say and I get to interrupt you.
But we don't have time for that, Corey. We've got to end the show. Come on, do the outro.
I feel like that episode of Doctor Who where they're on midnight and midnight happens and you've taken my... You've stolen my voice. You've stolen my words. But you won't steal these words, Luke, because they're before we go. We'd like to thank all of our patrons and thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment. Support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys or find and contact us at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere, and
you can follow us both to the Patreon, which is my line goodbye.
Jinx, private padlock.
I'm gonna steal your baby.
If you do steal her, you have to feed her.
I'll steal your baby.